100 Go Bible. You will only pay for your textbooks. Your tuition is free. Do you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a theological, doctrinal, biblical issue today that I believe brings about a lot of concern and consternation among multitudes. In fact, there are many today in life, in society, that perhaps in different denominational settings have different views on the unpardonable sin. Some believe that if you commit murder, that you've committed the unpardonable sin. Some believe that if you've committed adultery, that's an unpardonable sin. Some believe in major different areas in relationship to their denominational dogma what the unpardonable sin may be. But just before the news break, Dr. Phelps was talking about it from the text in Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter. And Dr. Phelps, that chapter, that key thought, starts where Jesus is casting out the demons in one. And in fact, the unit of thought begins with verse 14 and goes through verse 37. We don't have time to do that. But in verse 22, then was brought unto him, that's to Jesus, one possessed of a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But the Pharisees heard it. They said, this fellow, speaking of Jesus, doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. Now take it from there, Dr. Phelps. Here the Pharisees, they are ascribing the power of God through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working. They ascribe the work of the Holy Spirit to demons, Beelzebub. That is blasphemous that Jesus talks about further in the text. Walk through that for us for a moment. I want our listeners to understand the context of this statement from Jesus. Outside of the context, it's hard to interpret what's being said. So I want our listeners to understand the context, what is said, who's he speaking to, and why is that so important. And then, Dr. Davis, we're going to talk about how is that applicable today. Go ahead, Dr. Davis.
In Matthew chapter 12, there was this scene that's described here in this chapter of a man who was healed. His life was changed. He was possessed with demons, and Jesus healed the man with the power of the Holy Spirit. All that Jesus did, as I said earlier, was always in the power of the Holy Spirit. All the members of the Trinity are always working in unity.
Yes.
And so we find that the Pharisees, however, objected to what they saw and should have understood and believed. And they said, by way of blasphemous words, that what Jesus was doing was healing and doing the miracles in the power of Satan. Mm-hmm. And that is ascribing the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan. And so that is contrary to what is happening. They were acting in unbelief and were acting willfully against the Lord and trying to discredit him, and brought a blasphemous statement against God.
Absolutely. And in the text, let me just summarize it, ladies and gentlemen, then I want Dr. Davis to speak to it. Jesus is saying, if you could put it in the Youngblood vernacular, listen, people, we can all be forgiven for all sins, every slander that they utter. But then Jesus gives an exception to that every sin being forgiven. Only one sin that Jesus warns that cannot be forgiven. Whosoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Jesus is saying they are guilty for an eternal sin, this life and the life to come. So, just what is that unpardonable sin? I'm looking at a note from one writer that says, it's not a casual spoken word, but a willful, persistent rejection of the Holy Spirit's witness about who Jesus is, often described as a final, irreversible hardening of the heart against God. That's a pretty good statement, Dr. Davis, I believe that is there. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question, a comment, please.
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, good morning and good evening to you, both gentlemen, both of you, all three of you.
Good morning. Good morning, Brother Kenneth.
Okay. I remember I read where they brought a woman that was caught in adultery, but where was the man? And the Pharisees brought a man on the Sabbath, I think with an arm or a hand that was messed up, and they wanted to see if Jesus would heal him. And Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing, Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. If I might, be quoting wrong.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that's my question. But, I mean, I could see this right now. Like, not Saul. Stephen, when he said, you all try to kill prophets because you didn't want to listen to them. And that's how I think it's going on with President Trump. You're trying to kill him because God sent him.
Well, Kenneth, you're exactly right, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit that we're speaking of here with the Lord Jesus. We're looking at what I call the sinful heart, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and wicked, who can know it? And even right here in this context, in verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, it is the Lord Jesus that, as God, Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh. So we see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triunity of the Godhead. And here we have the Pharisees that's ascribing what Jesus has done through the power of the Holy Spirit, ascribing it to Beelzebub, which was then understood as the prince of all of the demons. He said, they're saying in essence, Jesus, you did that by the power of Satan. You did that not by the Holy Spirit, but the power of Satan. So it's countering what is fact. It is countering what is real in relationship to the work of the Holy Spirit. So that's the blasphemy that's taking place. They're ascribing the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan and demons. And that's blaspheming. That is saying evil, wicked words against the Holy Spirit of God. So that's the key to it. And the question then boils down, Kenneth, and we're going to deal with that in a moment, is it possible for a person to do that today? So thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Davis, would you take a moment and address that? Here's Jesus. He's the Pharisees are witnessing and watching, and it's not just a one-time mistake. He knew their thoughts, and in their thoughts, they are have enmity and anger, hostility and rejection for Jesus and his work through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're out of hand, offhand, just rejecting that, casting it aside. Speak to that today.
Well, I think, Dr. Youngblood, basically, as Christians, let me see it from this standpoint and this view, we have to be careful that we examine our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man, but it's what comes out. And then he was speaking in that portion of scripture about what was coming out of their heart. So going back to that, I can remember being taught by a very good church mother, Mother Myers, amen, down in St. Mary's, Georgia. She used to say, son, what's the motive? There's a motive behind everything that people do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus said, and going back to what you said up here in verse number 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Once again now, were their thoughts based on the motives by what they really knew? Did they have the facts to prove what they were thinking was right?
That's the thing that is so integral and its importance. They've seen his miracles, signs, miracles, and wonders. They have walked with him. They've seen him teach. They knew that he was Messiah, Yeshua, Messiah, sent to save Israel in their understanding. But yet, Jesus knew their thoughts, and based on their thoughts, he responded to them in words based on what he knew that they were thinking. And so, he's illustrating there, hey, you're thinking that what I've done is by the power of Beelzebub, the demons. But this is the fact, and therefore what you've said, what you've done, is blasphemous against the Holy Spirit, and that is unforgivable from now throughout all of eternity. And then when you do the trickle down, we have to ask the question, can a person blaspheme the Holy Spirit today? We'll get to that in a moment. I believe Santiago's on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. John Blood, God bless you. I believe any attribution of God or the Holy Spirit, that's why God don't forget you. You know, I believe that, you know, there are people, we have to test the spirit of the Bible say, I believe. And God bless you. That's my comment.
God bless you, San Diego. That is true. I believe Terry's on the line. Terry, go with your question or comment, please.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, good morning. I hope you're well.
When I first got saved years ago, the first psalm that I was told to read was Psalm 51. And even David said, take not thy Holy Spirit. And then further on, he said that later on, my two favorite parts of that is that, and I'm paraphrasing, then he would be able to teach. And I heard you speaking on teaching and how people are being taught wrong. But the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives today. So important. And every time I would hear about the Holy Spirit, it would just make me cry. Because to me, that's who is so important. God, the three heads, is very important. But today, when Jesus had said, I'll send my comforter, the Holy Spirit is what does everything. All three of them were together in Genesis. And he's still alive today.
Absolutely. You're on target with that. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's some call it the Trinity. The better term is the triunity of the Godhead. Jesus Christ is no less God than the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's no less God than God himself. And so when we look at what is taking place in this text, it's not some one-time mistake that they've made, they speaking of the Pharisees. It's involving the knowingly resisting the truth of God over a period of time. They have seen Jesus work over and over and over. They've witnessed his miracles, and yet even over time, they now are openly rebelling, resisting, blaspheming the work of the Holy Spirit of God. It is described by some as the state of unbelief after clearly understanding what is being said. One writer said this, and let me read this for our listeners also. The sin is unpardonable, not because God is unwilling to forgive, but because the person refuses the only means of forgiveness, and that's through the Holy Spirit. But, Terry, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Phelps, what say you? I have simply said, as we look at the text, Jesus had performed the signs, miracles, and wonders. The Pharisees had witnessed it. The Pharisees accused Jesus of being possessed of demons and not by the power of the Holy Spirit working in him. They had excuses. They had the question in relationship to what he was doing and why. But literally, there's no excuse. There's no excuse that would be applicable that they could use. Jesus is Messiah. They knew it. There's no excuse. They refused to recognize it and embrace it. They saw his wonderful works and ascribed it to demons. Summarize some of the thoughts. And the bottom line, I'll ask you, Dr. Phelps, and then I'll ask Dr. Davis. The bottom line is, can the unpardonable sin be done today?
Well, one of the passages in this text that I noticed was that the Pharisees were disrespectful toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and also they were disrespectful toward the Holy Spirit. Showing disrespect indicates that there's no fear of God.
That's right.
They lacked the fear of God. They showed no reverence for the Son of God, and also that spilled over to include the person of the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees said, this fellow does not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus perceived that these people were so mixed up. They were deceived. And verse 25 says that he knew their thoughts. So his next statement was to show them how illogical that was.
Correct.
He says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. He's trying to show them that Satan does not divide his demons in their work. They're all together, much like those in the political realm today. They kind of stand together, and the illogical kind of thinking is brought then into view here. And it shows that there's a lack of discernment on the part of the Pharisees and the others who hated Jesus. It was simply animosity that drove them. They were not looking for the truth. They were not trying to hear or understand the truth. They were totally opposed to the person of Jesus. And that's a sad situation for a person. If a person today acts in that manner, then do you think the Holy Spirit is going to continue to work in their behalf and bring conviction into their hearts? I say no. There is a time when God simply gives them up to unbelief. And that's what's happening here. These people have gone too far. And that's why Jesus said that won't be forgiven.
That's right.
Because the Spirit of God may not call tomorrow.
Absolutely. So here's the wrap-up summary. Dr. Davis, I want you to take this and explain it a little. Some people say that the unforgivable, unpardonable sin cannot be today. And they rationalized on the basis, well, this was to the Pharisees. Jesus was walking the earth then. He's not walking the earth now. We're not the Pharisees. He was speaking specifically to the Pharisees. Therefore, it is not applicable today. Is that true or false?
Well, when we consider, once again, Dr. Youngblood, we are adding life today. We live in the information age. And there is no reason for anyone to walk around in darkness, especially concerning the Word of God, because there are too many called and anointed preachers out there preaching and teaching the Word and living the life
who are truly trying to help people understand the way of the truth based upon the scriptures. Mm-hmm. So when people die, even today, and yes, they can commit the unpardonable sin even today, but they're going to be held accountable for unbelief. When you look at the unbelief part, once again, they didn't ever accept the knowledge of the truth while they had a chance. I'm talking about the Word of God. So therefore, God is going to hold them accountable for, once again, rejecting the truth, what you just got finished saying, and hardening their hearts against the truth.
Yes.
So it's going to be a sad day to hear him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you."
Absolutely. So here's the point. If there's a consistent, persistent rejection of the Holy Spirit, it is irreversible. A person cannot be saved outside the work of the Holy Spirit. If that individual, whether it be the Pharisees then or the individual today, were to discount, reject, refuse. And there are people today, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. There are people today, they've heard the good news, they've heard the gospel, they've seen the scripture, they've seen lives changed by those that have said yes to Jesus Christ, and they yet say no to the work of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, I am familiar with some today, one in particular that comes to mind, I'll not call the name, a young man about 50, 55 years old, refuses anything to do with the gospel, refuses to hear the plan of salvation, refuses to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit. He has cancer. His time is limited based on medical science, but yet regardless of what the doctors say is his present physical condition and ultimate demise, he refuses, willful refusal, to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit and say yes to Jesus Christ for his soul's salvation. So yes, if he continues that way, then he dies, then it's irreversible. There's no changing. That's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. If it's not a one-time mistake or an angry statement that somebody might make, it involves knowingly resisting the truth of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God over a period of time. May I say this, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a casual spoken word, but a willful, persistent rejection of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Phipp, what say you? And then Dr. Davis?
The Bible has much to say about grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's what you have just alluded to there. The scriptures tell us that when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we've grieved a person, third person of the Trinity. And therefore, a person then may alienate himself from the work of God in bringing about so great salvation. God has in mind for his work to be done, and the Spirit of God is actively involved. I believe that in the work of the gospel, we can look at the example as we see in the book of Acts chapter 13, when Paul and his helpers devoted themselves to the matter of prayer and seeking God's will. The Spirit of God then began what we know as the missionary work of the Apostle Paul and the others, and that missionary work has come down to include me. Mm-hmm. And so as a person who's very thankful that God spoke to me through the Word of God, through a Spirit-filled man of God, and through a personal worker, a Christian worker, to bring me to the knowledge of the truth. That all began with the Apostle Paul, mm-hmm. and those whom God had led to go to the other people, other nations outside of the nation of Israel. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Acts that God spoke to them and showed them what to do, where to go, and preach the gospel. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the Lord of the harvest.
Amen.
And if he is grieved, don't you think that he's going to back away mm-hmm. and quit working on you if you're resisting
there
his
comes,
work?
There comes a time that takes place. Yeah. Absolutely. Dr. Davis, some wrap-up thoughts. And before you speak, let me simply say, asking the question, and I reiterate this for the benefit of our listeners, is it possible for a person today to commit the unpardonable sin? My answer, yes and no. And again, I reiterate, if considered in the context that we look at, with Jesus alive, Jesus on earth, and the Pharisees, that is not you cannot replicate that today. So the answer is no. But if you look at it on the basis to deliberately, knowingly reject God's truth, to deliberately, knowingly attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan, yes, a person commits the unpardonable sin. An individual needs to say yes to Christ. In fact, here's one writer that made this statement that I appreciate. The only unpardonable sin today is that of continued unbelief in the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no pardon for a person who dies in his rejection of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's at work in the world, convincing the unsaved of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. John 16:8. If a person resists that conviction, remains unrepentant, he is choosing hell over heaven.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, we've got a minute. Wrap us up.
Once again, God doesn't send anyone to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we need to know that. It's a choice. You make the choice to go there by rejecting him and his truth. Again, I have to believe that there should be no one living in the world today that God cannot reach.
That's right.
Because the scripture lets us know that even nature itself preaches a message to the unlearned that might have never even read a word.
That's right.
Coming from the Bible, but it teaches them that there is a God somewhere, so then God puts that desire in that person's heart to seek.
That's right.
To find out if there really is a God. So then, based upon that, yes, you can commit the unpardonable sin if you don't seek God and find out what the truth is, because when we go to John chapter 5, verse 16, it says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. And then he says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So once again, we can stand in the gap in intercession to make intercession for the people that don't know the truth concerning the word of God, and God will forgive them. But once again, if they commit that sin that's unto death, this Bible tells us we shouldn't even pray for that.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, I'm thankful that we can be here today. If a person resists the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, if they're continually unrepentant, then they're making a choice for hell rather than heaven. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.